This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. It seems like every day we're confronted with mixed messages about our identity, our purpose, and our values. It's easy to get confused. Today we continue Pastor Rick's new series called Talking About Stuff That Matters. In this series, Rick shares biblical truths and practical advice that will help you and your family grow in your faith, make important decisions, and find significance in the God who created you. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about an amazing opportunity to come alongside this ministry in our efforts to see lives change through the gospel. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to the message, or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Forming Healthy Friendships.
Anger, like a lot of other emotions, is contagious. Loneliness is contagious. Depression is contagious. A lot of things are contagious. A lot of emotions are contagious. He said, the people you hang out with, that's what you're going to become like. And now, you say, well, I don't know anybody hot-tempered people. Are you listening to talk radio? Because they're all on that. Are you watching talk TV? There are some shows, if you find your blood pressure rising, you just shouldn't listen to. All they're doing is feeding rage inside you. Let me give you one more. No, a couple more. Here's one. People who steal or shoplift. Now, I don't know many adults who know people who are shoplifting, but a lot of teenagers know teenagers who are shoplifting. But there are people who are stealing their office blind, and everybody knows it. Thieves, the Bible says, are self-centered. And if they steal from others, you know what? They'll steal from you. So you don't want them to be your closest friend. People who steal or shoplift. Look at this verse up here on the screen, Proverbs 1, verses 13 to 15. This is what they say. They say, come on, let's take all kinds of valuable things. Okay, you know, all the resources at the office. Let's fill our houses with stolen goods. Come join us. We'll share the stolen goods. But do not go along with them and do not do what they do. So he says, you know, just stay away from those people. Number six, I should not have as my closest friend believers who sin sexually. Believers. Notice I didn't say unbelievers. I said believers who sin sexually. Why not everybody? Well, never expect unbelievers to act like believers until they are. This is why I don't believe in trying to make laws to make non-Christians act like Christians or make unbelievers act like believers. Why? The Bible says they don't have the power to change. The whole book of Romans was written to say that until Christ is in my life, I don't have the power to change things in me. So to expect other people to act like people who have God's power in their life is getting the cart before the horse. Never expect an unbeliever to act like a believer until they are. I don't. God doesn't. And you shouldn't. But here's what the Bible says. Look up here on the screen. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 to 11. Paul says, you know, when I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin, I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin, because you'd have to leave this whole world to avoid all of them. Duh. What I meant was, you're not to associate with anyone who claims to be a Christian and yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or abusive, or gets drunk. Don't even eat with such people. Why? Because they're a bad witness. Because they are a bad representation of Christ. Any of those four things, he says, is not a good representation of Jesus. And if you call yourself Christian, and you hang out with somebody else who claims to be a Christian, but is acting in a non-Christ-like way, he goes, that's a problem.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Over the last several months, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now, more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he's asked us to invite you to become a partner in hope. It's so easy to join. You simply let us know how much you'd like to give each month, and we'll set up an easy regular donation plan for you. But if for any reason you're not able to help financially at this time, we absolutely get that. In fact, the most important way you can help Daily Hope is to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you can give at this time, please know that your sustained monthly support will help us to continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel on the radio, on the web, and via podcast. To become a partner in hope, call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. When you do, we'll send you a very special thank you gift to show our appreciation. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. And thanks so very much for your support. There are only 2 days left to become a partner in hope and receive your special thank you gift, so don't wait.
Paul says, you know, when I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin, I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin, because you'd have to leave this whole world to avoid all of them. Duh. What I meant was, you're not to associate with anyone who claims to be a Christian and yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or abusive, or gets drunk. Don't even eat with such people. Why? Because they're a bad witness. Because they are a bad representation of Christ. Any of those four things, he says, is not a good representation of Jesus. And if you call yourself Christian and you hang out with somebody else who claims to be a Christian but is acting in a non-Christ-like way, he goes, that's a problem. So those are some people we're to stay away from. But the Bible also has a lot of positive advice on the kind of people you should choose as your closest friend. And Pastor Kurt is going to come and talk about that. Welcome him.
Now, Rick has spent some time talking about the casual and the close, and what I want to spend a little bit of time today is talking about who do we choose as those core friends. Rick mentioned the closer they are, the more influence they have on us. We've only got room for a handful of core friends, men and women friends who make a strong impact and have a close influence on our lives. The question is begged, okay, well, how do I decide? Who should be a core friend, especially if they're going to have some extra influence? Now, again, there's all sorts of qualities, all sorts of important qualities that we should consider when we're picking our core friends. I'm going to focus on three that Scripture seems to give a little bit extra attention to. So here are three qualities to look for in your core friends. First, choose friends who encourage me spiritually. Choose friends who encourage me spiritually. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, encourage one another and build each other up. Now, here's the thing. This verse isn't talking about compliments. There's a difference between compliments and encouragement. Compliments are nice, but they tend to be shallow. A compliment, oh, Kurt, your teeth look really shiny tonight, right? That's a compliment. Kurt, you look a little less bald than last time I saw you. Okay, thank you. That's nice. I'm glad you said that. But that's not encouragement. That's a compliment. Encouragement are things that go a little bit deeper, a little bit further below the surface. Encouragement matters a little bit more and carries more significance than a compliment. And God wants us to surround ourselves, our most core friends, with people who are a source of encouragement. Now, the dictionary defines encouragement this way: the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. That's encouragement. The action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. I like this other definition. It's a lesser known definition of encouragement. It's simply this: to fill the heart. Encouragement is to fill the heart. When you give somebody support, when you give somebody confidence, when you're a source of hope, what you're doing is you are filling their heart. Now, a couple quick examples. When I was in high school and college, one of my core friends, we had this group of core friends, and like what happens in a lot of friendship circles is there's always one that seems to kind of miss out on the information. This was back when you actually had to pick up a phone that was attached to a cord that was attached to the wall and make a phone call. And so because of all the effort that went into being good friends back in the day, this one friend would always get left out. And for some reason, when he was left out, I was the person he would call. And there was almost this routine in our friendship where we would go out and do something, we would forget about our one friend, and I would get the phone call, and it would go something like this. Bring, bring, hello? Hey, Kurt, I heard you guys went to Disneyland last night. You didn't invite me. Real cool, chump. And he'd hang up. Click. Bring, bring. Hey, Kurt, I heard you guys went to the movies last night. Didn't invite me. Real cool, chump. Click. I mean, it's on. It was a routine. I was so afraid of it. I couldn't do anything without upsetting my friend for him not being included. Hey, Kurt, I heard you folded your underwear last night. Didn't invite me. Real cool. I mean, no matter what we did, if he wasn't included, it was this issue. And when I start thinking about encouragement, and I had to make the decision, is my friend somebody who gives me support, confidence, and hope? Or is he a source of tension? As I evaluated my circle of friends, I had to make a decision that maybe that's not somebody I want in my core circle. He didn't fill my heart. One of my good friends right now, Eddie, lives in Atlanta. We hardly ever see each other. And yet every time, whether it's for coffee or an extended weekend together, when I'm in Atlanta or he's here on business, if I spend 5 minutes, 50 minutes, 5 hours with Eddie, I walk away and my heart is full. He just has a way of encouraging me and supporting me and breathing confidence into my life. Those are the kind of friends that God says you should have closest to you. So choose friends who encourage me spiritually. You see, part of feeling lonely, and as Pastor Rick so perfectly set up this whole topic, loneliness is a big, big struggle. In fact, current statistics say that 65% of 12 to 17-year-olds, 65%, experience loneliness on a regular basis. It's a big deal. And part of this loneliness that we feel is because our hearts aren't filled up. We feel lonely because we don't have the kind of friendships that fill our hearts. We have friendships that are full of some of these other negative things that Pastor Rick encouraged us to avoid. Here's the second quality. In your core friends, is to choose friends who consistently support me emotionally. Choose friends who consistently support me emotionally. I love this verse. Proverbs 17:17 says this. A friend loves you all the time. Do me a favor and underline that. All the time. A friend loves you all the time like a brother born to help in trouble. Now, it's been said that a true friend, and how you judge your true friends, is that a true friend walks in when everybody else walks out. That when you're going through trouble, you know your friends by the people who walk into your life versus the people who tend to walk out. So what does it look like to walk in to somebody's life? Here's what walking in means. You might want to just jot these down someplace. Walking in means saying, I'm here with you, not just I'm here for you. You notice the difference? I'm here with you, not just, hey, if you need anything, I know you're going through a tough time. If you need anything, I'm here for you. When you say I'm here for you, you're putting all the burden on them to reach out to you in their moment of need. When you say I'm here with you, what you're saying is I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to walk this journey with you. I will be with you every step of the way. And you look for ways to model that you're there with them. Walking in means listening. The best emotional support that you can give somebody is usually just to sit and be quiet. When people are going through a tough time, less words, more listening. Saying I'm here with you means I'm listening to what you have to say and I'm willing to be with you in it. Walking in means serving your friends. Walking in means serving your friends, looking for ways to proactively be an emotional support, a physical support, whatever it is that they might need you to be. Third, choose friends who challenge me to think. Oh, this is the tough one. If I can be honest for a minute, just the two of us. Just me and you. I don't like this one. I don't like this one. That God wants me to choose friends who challenge me to think. Proverbs 13:20 says, if you keep company with wise friends, you'll become wise. But if you make friends with foolish people, your life will fall to pieces. You see, I like to be friends with people who kind of think like I do. I like to be friends with people who have some of the same dumb beliefs, dumb opinions, strange worldview. I like people who are like me. And when somebody starts pushing up against that, I have a tendency to fight it. I don't want to be challenged. Come on, if you're really my friend, just kind of agree with me, put up with me. I'm kind of half-baked and dumb-idead sometimes, and you should be okay with that. You know, Dumb and Dumber? Great movie, great movie. Not a good recipe for healthy friendships, right? Dumb and Dumber doesn't make for healthy friendships. I need people in my life, you need people in your life who are willing, not in an argumentative, judgmental way, but friends who are willing to call you on your stuff. Iron sharpens iron. One of my very best core friends is actually the gentleman that co-wrote the book with me. And if you were to say the three or four most important life issues, Mark and I would agree 100% of the time on those three or four core life issues. Of the 3 or 4 million non-essential life issues, Mark and I would disagree about 99.9% of the time. We just see things differently. We've experienced our faith differently. We've raised our kids differently. The way he and his wife navigate things is different than the way my wife and I navigate things. He has 2 children that they're exact same age as our kids. The way they've raised their kids is different than the way we've raised our kids. And we have had over the years these passionate, wonderful, challenging, stretching, confusing conversations and moments and times where we get eye to eye and knee to knee and say, bro, here's what I think about that. Here's what I'm seeing. Here's where I differ. And the result has been wonderful. It's been wonderful. I'm a better dad because he's challenged me. I'm a better husband because he sees things differently about marriage than I do. I'm a better follower of Jesus because he has experienced his faith in some ways that are different than my journey, and it's added this layer of richness and this layer of depth to my life. The easy thing in friendships is just to surround yourselves with like-minded people. Birds of a feather flock together. That's the easiest route to take. It's the road of least resistance. But if you want rich, meaningful, life-giving, heart-filling relationships, I would encourage you to take God's advice and choose friends who challenge you to think. Now, that homework that Rick mentioned is something I'm going to ask you to do is, as we kind of move through some more parts of this message, is this week sometime, I'm going to ask you to take a look at that picture, maybe draw it out on a napkin or a piece of paper, write out those casual friends, write out the close friends. And in regards to these three things, take a look at who you put in your core friend category and ask yourself, do these people, do they encourage me spiritually? Do they support me emotionally? And do they challenge me to think?
Great. Thanks, Mr. Kurt. Let me give you a sentence to write down that kind of summarizes everything Kurt and I are trying to say. My best friends should bring out the best in me. My best friends should bring out the best in me. If they're not bringing out the best in you, they're not really your best friends. Somebody else should be your best friend. If your best friends aren't bringing out the best, they're not your best. So write that down, and when you're looking at your friendships and do an evaluation of that, think about that. Are these my best friends? Are they bringing out the best in me or not? Now, let's switch gears and talk about the opposite. And that is this. Here's another sentence you might want to write down. To have great friends, I must be a great friend. You might write that one down. That's where we're going now in the next part of this message. To have great friends, I have to be a great friend. I can't expect people to be to me what I'm not being to them. And so whatever I want other people to do with me, I need to do with them. You will attract what you are. If you're a great friend, guess what? You will attract great friends. So that's a factor that we need to look at now. Let's look at 8 building blocks on how to be a great friend according to the Bible, according to what God says. He's always going to be right. So let's just go through these 8. I'm going to take some of them. Kurt's going to take some of them. Number 1, the building blocks of close relationships. 8 factors for forming friendships. Number 1, be cheerful. Greet people with a smile. Now, that may seem kind of obvious, but when you take a friend for granted, you often don't smile at them. There is an enormous power in a simple smile. A smile can change an atmosphere overnight. Instantly, it can change a room. The shortest distance between 2 people is a smile.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today, but first, over the last several months, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now, more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he's asked us to invite you to become a partner in hope. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
No matter where you're listening to this program right now around the world, I want to thank you for your support of Daily Hope. Your prayers and your financial contributions are literally helping people all over the world learn about the hope that we have in Jesus. Did you know that in just this short time, people from over 200 countries have visited the Daily Hope website? And we have listeners all throughout the United States, India, Africa, South America, Australia, Korea, Hong Kong, Europe, all over the Middle East. In fact, right now, someone's listening to this broadcast and getting to know Jesus because of your prayer and because of your financial support. So I just wanted to say thank you. Your support means so much to me personally, and I want you to know that I take your trust very seriously. Every single dollar you donate to Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. You know that I don't take a salary from Daily Hope. You're never going to hear about Kay and me owning a private jet or some boat, because we want to invest as much as possible into God's kingdom, because that's what's going to matter for eternity. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth." And I believe Jesus meant it when he said that. Now, we want Daily Hope to reach more and more people. So I would appreciate you prayerfully continuing your support of this ministry. Would you pray about it? Here's the prayer I want you to pray. God, what do you want to give through me? I would love to have you as a partner in hope.
It's so easy to join. You simply let us know how much you'd like to give each month, and we'll set up an easy regular donation plan for you. If for any reason you're not able to help financially at this time, we absolutely get that. In fact, the most important way you can help Daily Hope is to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you can give at this time, please know that your sustained monthly support will help us to continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel on the radio, on the web, and via podcast. To become a partner in hope, call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. When you do, we'll send you a very special thank you gift to show our appreciation. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. And thanks so very much for your support. There are only 2 days left to become a partner in hope and receive your special thank you gift, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.